You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben standing here talking to you guys Sunday night, a wild day in the NBA and for the Washington Wizards as well. We're going to get into the Wizards signing Jody Meeks, which has been discussed on this podcast for about a month. So you guys should have been wide awake to the idea that the Wizards should be looking at a guy like that. I will pat myself on the back a little bit on that. We're also going to talk about Otto Porter. He had a meeting today, not with the Wizards, and we'll get into that, what I learned about that. And my guy Armand Lee is here. He's going to give us his four things that are standing out to him so far through NBA free agency. First and foremost, Armand, I hope you had a relaxing weekend because it has gotten, even just in the last, like right before we started doing this, it's gotten wild. Paul Millsap goes to Denver for $1 billion. All kinds of moves happened all day. I mean, there was a point yesterday, Saturday, I was getting a little, not bored, but I was like, all right, nothing's really happening. But today, it feels like all day long has been Lollapalooza.
We were talking about this just a little bit before we went on. I don't know if it was the decision that kind of started this whole trend, but I feel like for the last at least 5 years, free agency is like the most fun part of the NBA calendar year. Like, Friday night is this whole 12:01. Things are starting to break Friday at 9. You know what I mean? It's been like this nonstop. I mean, there was excitement just about seeing Woj on ESPN. I mean, it's kind of just grown into and morphed into this monster all in of itself. NBA Twitter is hilarious. It was the one bright spot for me on Saturday during an hour and a half of misery, which was called the Despicable Me 3. Parents out there, don't go see it. But the NBA free agency is amazing.
It really is, and you know, so much has happened. I think the basic point of that, because I see this a lot with college, like people are interested in the recruits, they're not interested in the players who are actually on the team, because it's sort of, you know, they want to. They want to look into the future. They want to believe that what's coming around the corner is better than even what they have, no matter what else they have. And I'm sure the people cover, you know, fans of Golden State are very content with, you know, dealing with Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and so on. But for the most part, no matter who it is, it's always about, well, what's next? What's happening there? I mean, it's, you know, I've said this before, the Wizards, everybody just kind of keeps crapping on the fact that, oh, they can't get a third star. I'm like, dude, they won 49 games, the most they've won in 40 years. Arguably, until Boston does anything, I can make an argument that they're the second best team in the East right now. And yet, oh well, because they didn't get Paul George, screw it. What's next? I'm like, enjoy what you have for the moment.
Yeah.
Come on, relax. But
it's weird. Like, oh, go ahead.
No. It's just, I mean, it's human nature on some of them. We all sort of do. I mean, as I said to you, I kind of like the off season, I think, more than the regular season, but so I get it, but you know, it is just crazy watching how everybody reacts to everything.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic with the NBA because, like, with everybody always blames or cites social media as the reason for everything. I don't want to do that, but there's more information now, right? So NBA fans are definitely more informed now than they were 10 years ago about the cap and CBA and contracts and all these other things. So in one part, it's like, it's really fun, you know, to get on Trade Machine and like, hey, you know, and play with the idea of what if, you know. So in many aspects of free agency, it allows NBA fans to kind of play around and tweak and play pretend GM. It's almost like fantasy basketball, fantasy sports. You can kind of tweak whatever. But there's also a contingent of NBA fans that still kind of harp on, hey, man, we need to be all in on championships. And you and I have discussed this several times, maybe even on a past show. Every team isn't playing. I mean, players, coaches, they all want to win. We get that. But realistically, they're about five at the most a year playing for a championship. And everybody else, they have their own kind of brass ring that they're chasing. So if the Wizards, like you said, reasonable people, and finding reasonable people on Twitter is difficult from time to time, but reasonable people will be like, hey, they missed the playoffs last year. This year they made the playoffs. The two best players had their best years, and they probably should have went to the conference championship. And that goal of finally getting to a conference championship, a major four, final four, if you will, that's really attainable next season. So there is hope. So the Wizards don't have to win a championship to have a successful season. If the Warriors don't win a championship, they don't have a successful season. And that's kind of their levels to this.
And also, anyway, I mean, not to belabor this, but like the basic point, I've said this many times now, you try to put yourself in position, and if things go your way, you can take advantage of it. In this case, it means LeBron has to get hit by a truck or something, because obviously he never gets hurt. But, you know, I'm just saying, that's the Wizards. Okay, we'll get into this more, but anyway, more to the point, right. NBA free agency is all kinds of fun, and, you know, there's still plenty more to come, not just with the Wizards, but there's still a lot more dominoes to fall. Gordon Hayward, I guess, is the big one left. I think once he makes a decision, which I think I heard was going to be like Tuesday or Wednesday, then I think a lot of the things will start to move probably pretty quickly. All right, so let's get into today. Two things happened with the Wizards, and both almost simultaneously. I guess just to go in chronological order. First was Otto Porter. There were reports on Friday. No, wait, so on Saturday. So Otto Porter, free agency opens on Saturday.
12-1.
Yeah, and he met with the Wizards at that point, and they did not come to term on any kind of a deal. And that, you know, it really didn't surprise me. I mean, at the end of the day, the Wizards are saying that they're going to match any offer. I had somebody familiar with the situation today tell me, Otto, you know, essentially, quote, Otto's not going anywhere. Okay? So that's a stance that they're seemingly taking. And a lot of other people have been reporting that as well. So the reality is, even if another team offers him the max contract, which is essentially 4 years, $100 million, that another team can offer, the Wizards can match it. But if another team doesn't offer that, the Wizards don't have to go that high to get a deal done. So I guess they're just going to wait. And I don't there's pros and cons to everything, but that's what they're doing, and I don't think it's the wrong way to go. So that said, today, meaning Sunday, Otto Porter had his first meeting with the with the Sacramento Kings. Armand, I'm going to fill you and the people here on some inside baseball of how I spent my day today.
Okay.
My cousins have a house down on the Chesapeake Bay, and they invited me to go down, and I'm like, you know, great. I never, it's not exactly like, you know, it's like an hour away from D.C., from D.C. area, and I'm like, all right, you know what, I never get away to do anything, so let me get away from the world and go, you know, put my feet in the water. So they said, come down anytime after 11. All right, about an hour drive. So around like 11:30, I'm like getting in my car, but right before I was leaving, I'm like, you know, Otto Porter's having that meeting with Sacramento. I don't know what time it's happening, but David Falk, his agent, his office, I used to work in the same office building that David Falk's office in. I used to sort, this is like 20 years ago, I used to sort the mail at this law firm where I was at, and they would mix up the mail. So literally I would open up the mail or see the mail, and it would be an envelope addressed to Michael Jordan. So that was pretty crazy. So I know where his office is. It's like a mile or so from my house. I'm like, you know what? What do I have got to lose? I'm not rushing to get to the Bay. Let me just go over there and see what's going on. Like, I can go out and get coffee anyway. I'll just get coffee over there. So I leave. I go over to the building. I get coffee. I get a breakfast sandwich. I'm hanging out. I'm not there 10 minutes. And I looked, and I'm kind of near where the office is. And I'm like, I'm not going to stay all day. I mean, I'm not that crazy. At least in my head, I'm not. And so I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, Vlade Divac walks out.
Did he have Newports on him? That's the number one question. Was he carrying a box?
You're the second person that asked me, was he smoking when he walked out? So he walks out with two other people. I think I recognize that one of them was their owner, Vavik. Was it Rand? How do you say his last name?
I'm not even going to try.
But I wasn't 1,000% sure. So, I mean, anyway, I see Vlade Divac. I see them leave. They go outside. He gets into a car. They drive off. So I'm like, all right. So they just left that meeting. So I tweet out that he left the meeting from David Falk's office, and the early afternoon progressed, that started to pick up some steam. I soon thereafter talked to somebody to sort of confirm a couple things, and was basically told that everybody's like being a little bit vague on some level, but basically I was told that Otto Porter's received a max contract. I wasn't told 100% he had been received from the Kings. That said, he'd only had one other meeting, as far as any of us know, with the Kings. So you could probably put two and two together, but I didn't want to just say that without it. So anyway, so I wrote about on FanRag Sports.com about this, and you can go find the article there. Anyway, so that was kind of how I spent my morning. Hanging out at David Falk's office building, and I timed it. Timing is everything, and I timed it somehow that I got there right about the time that Vlade Divac and crew walked out.
Yeah, man. I mean, the whole Otto situation is. I said before this season, Otto's not the top free agent. Obviously, he had Chris Paul, Gordon Hayward, all these other guys, but I felt like his situation was the most fascinating. And like living in D.C., I'm curious how you feel about it. It's weird. It's like a great divide in terms of Otto Porter with Wizards fans. There are people who love him, and I'm an Otto Porter fan, full disclosure. And then there are people who can't stand him. And they no, don't you ever sign him. And you try to tell people, hey, the money that they would re-sign Otto with is just for him. So if you let him go, you can't use it. And people are still just like, nah, we don't want him, forget it. And then there's a part of me that's like, for the last 4 years, this team has had the same core four, right? John, Otto, Brad, Wertheim. And the same 4 years, they've had great success. They haven't had a losing season during that stretch. They've been in the second round of the playoffs three of the times. And, this year, I think reasonable people, even Celtics fans, would tell you they should have beaten Boston. They were the better, superior team. That being said, there is something against paying three of those four guys, giving three of those four guys a raise when the past 4 years have had the same kind of ceiling. So the whole dynamic with Otto is just kind of fascinating. The Wizards are in a precarious predicament only because you're paying guys more, but you're getting the same result. But Otto's a really, really good player, and you just can't let him walk for anything. So the whole Otto Porter saga is just fascinating.
I really do think at some level, I mean, it seems like it comes down to, I always use this example, stay with me here for 1 second. There's the rule in the NFL that says the ground cannot cause a fumble. And that's like a common term. We all sort of know it, right? And a lot of people think that's true. It's actually not true at all. The ground can 100% cause the fumble. What the ground cannot cause a fumble is if you get tackled. But if you're just running, hit the ground, and the ball pops out, it will cause a fumble. But because that term is so ingrained, people don't even know what it – they don't even think what it means.
Right.
And I think the problem is that when it comes to, like, the Wizards, that people say, well, if you don't have big three great players, you can't win. And while I understand that is sort of how the NBA is playing out lately, especially now that we've taken it to the extreme with what LeBron's done in Miami and Cleveland, and now what's happening in Golden State, it isn't science. It's not fact. It could in fact work in other ways. I mean, people seem to think San Antonio has a pretty good shot. Do they have three guys? I mean, Kawhi's not.
Probably only have one.
Right. I'm not even a big LaMarcus Aldridge guy at all. Right. I mean, so basically they have Kawhi, who's a top 5, 10 player, whatever. And then you have this other guy. So they don't have that. What did the Celtics have? I mean, you could argue the Celtics have zero, but okay, Isaiah Thomas is very good, whatever. Now, I understand they didn't beat Cleveland and the Spurs didn't beat Golden State, but they got close. And if things go the way, instead of Isaiah Thomas and Kawhi getting hurt, if it's Steph Curry and Kyrie getting hurt, I don't know. Who knows? So people keep acting like if the Wizards, because Otto Porter, the assumption is he's not going to get better, that somehow a 24-year-old who's improved in every year is what he is. Screw it. They can't get better. That everybody just wants to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And just on a pure practical level, this idea that you shouldn't, that you should let him walk, forget whatever happens.
Yeah.
Even if the Wizards decide to do that, to let him walk for nothing, a guy that teams are willing to throw a max contract at, even if the Sacramento is wrong, okay? Even if they're a horrible mistake that they, so what, he's worth $80 million instead of $400 million, he's worth $80 million? Oh, you're going to let that guy walk for zero? That's insane, unless you have a flat-out offer to get somebody else, which they don't because they don't have the wherewithal financially to do it. So it really is just, I don't know, it's frustrating. You know, you can argue that Otto Porter isn't worth the money, and I'm not going to even say that he's worth $400 million. That isn't really the point. I mean, it's just not.
What's the old saying? You're worth whatever they'll pay. And there are multiple teams who will pay Otto Porter $100 million if you are to believe, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess the Kings' report and then kind of scuttlebutt from other teams. Otto Porter is a productive player. You can't take that away from him. If you are the type of person who believes a player's value is based solely upon PPG, points per game, then you'll never think that Otto Porter is as good as people who feel that, you know, there are more complex and layered ways for guys to be, you know, among the top productive players in the league, right? So that's just going to be the divide. The fact of the matter is, if you take all the, whether it's the eye test or the analytical side of the coin, take all that away. The fact of the matter is, if the Wizards let Otto Porter go, they still don't have cap space this year, and they still have very little cap space next year. You can't improve. There is no way you can say Otto Porter did not help this team this season. So just letting him go can't be an option. It's just not just letting him walk. Now, if you want to talk about signing trades, that's a whole different thing. You and I have even played around with potential signing trades or whatever. That's fun, but you haven't – I mean, that's just literally hypotheticals, just pulling stuff out of the air. The fact of the matter is, Otto Porter is a productive 24-year-old player who you drafted and has improved each year that he's played in the league. You just don't let those guys walk for nothing. And if the cost of re-signing him is a max, then, I mean, you know what? They got money. And, again, they're going to be cap-strung regardless. So what's really the debate?
Nah, like I said, yeah, there really isn't a debate other than, you know, people who want to believe, well, if you let Otto Porter go, you're not tying up all this money into your situation, and therefore you can get somebody next year. Which, twofold on that. One, all you have to look at, I'll just give you one example. Go back to the Dallas Mavericks. They won the championship. Mark Cuban thinks he's got this thing set up for life. They let Tyson Chandler go, thinking they're Dallas. He's Mark Cuban. They're going to get everybody. You know what they've gotten since? Crap. They got Chandler, broken down Chandler, yep. Parsons, and not much else.
Broken down Wesley Matthews.
Right. And they had to go into they were a team who was essentially tanking this year to try to get to, you know, going. So it's not as simple as that. I mean, it just isn't. But by the way, I will say this. For the people who keep saying, well, if you sign out on Porter, you're going to be locked into a bad deal and then you're stuck. Did we just not see Oklahoma City trade Victor Oladipo,
right,
who has a crappy contract,
right,
who's not as good as Otto Porter, right, is today? They just traded him for Paul George. I understand that Paul George is a 1-year rental, whatever. I'm just saying it's not inconceivable. You can do something.
Let's look at it localized, and obviously the numbers aren't nearly as big, but I think relatively quickly we realized that Andrew Nicholson wasn't worth the contract he got last offseason. He was traded. So guys. And this is something I want to talk to you about later on in the show. Teams flagrantly saying, hey, well, the contract, you just got to give us young players or picks. Phoenix comes to mind. The league has broken into two, right? There's an arm race at the very, very top, and then there's everybody else. And then there's a salary floor. So teams have to spend money. So the teams who aren't trying to win right now and just trying to load up for the future, they are in a position to take bad contracts if you have sweeteners. So you can move any contract. We've seen that countless times in the NBA. But Otto's good. So like, I don't think that Otto's contract is going to be, you know, this Joakim Noah albatross that, you know, fearmongers trying to make it out to me.
Right, can you imagine being a Knicks fan and having to deal with that contract?
Oh, my bad.
Man, imagine being
my bad talk.
Hey, you know what? Y'all, for all you guys who don't want Otto, trade him for Melo. I'd be down with that 100%.
Oh, yeah, no. Now let me explain this. We just sort of gave you many reasons why the Wizards should keep him, why it's reasonable that they're going to keep him, and all that. That said, I will throw out this piece of caution. I mean, I've been saying forever that they're going to keep him. They literally almost have no choice for reasons we've just discussed. You let him go, there's almost nothing else they can do to try to match him. Even if you keep Bojan Bogdanović, because you have his bird rights and whatever, he's not the player that Otto Porter is. If you're just viewing them as three-point threats, they're comparable. When you take in the totality of their games, they're not the same player. And,
right.
You know, I don't know how to quantify, is Otto Porter worth double of what Bogdanović's salary is? He's just simply a better player.
Yes.
across the board.
Yes.
Now, so that said, yesterday, well, I'm losing track of the day. At some point in the last day or two, I saw Brian Windhorst on ESPN on The Jump, which is like my go-to NBA show these days. Really, really great show. Love Rachel Nichols, although she was not on this one. Anyway, he said that, you know, they were talking about the Otto Porter situation and that the Wizards, as I was just saying earlier, are giving all indications that they're going to match every offer. But he was saying, you know, what's interesting, though, because they keep saying it, or it keeps being said over and over again, he's starting to wonder if they're just saying it to scare teams away. But if somebody actually
right.
did give him the max, they wouldn't do that. Now, again, I spoke to somebody today who said from, you know, close to the situation or familiar with the situation, that the Wizards are going to do that. That said, I spoke to a different league source, more familiar with the Otto Porter side of things, who thinks that they don't think that the Wizards are going to match, because I sent more or less, if they were going to, why is it still going on? I don't know. It's interesting to have had now two different people, and you know, you never know who's talking to who, but to hear two different sources, people, Windhorst is not a source, but you know, two different people come up with that angle. So it'll be interesting. Like I said, I just can't understand, if the Wizards let Otto Porter leave, they're definitely taking a step back in the standings. I can't see what else they're going to be realistically be able to do. You know, for all the people, I mean, here's another thing. All the people who think that John Wall in those comments to ESPN was saying get rid of Otto, he wasn't saying that. He was saying Paul George is really good and he's better than Otto. Guess what? He freaking is. But if you let Otto go and you're taking a step back, and John Wall, you know, he's going to be Paul George in another year. He'll be that guy who's saying to his team, you know what? I'm getting out of here. So,
and that's the thing. The Wizards, their backs are against the wall, literally and figuratively, because not only are they, you know, in a position to where, you know, they're just not in the cap. They don't have flexibility with their cap. So you kind of got to deal with what you got. But you're also dealing with the impending free agency of John Wall. So you can't just. People are like, I've seen people say, hey, man, you know, just kind of wait out these bad contracts, and they're just not in a position to do that, because if John doesn't, not only are they not in a position to go take a step back in terms of wins losses, like if they don't make the playoffs, that's a death nail, right, in terms of John. But John's at a point now where he wants to start progressing. You know what I mean? Like we said earlier, they've been to the second round three of the last 4 years. John has gotten a taste of the spotlight, the bright lights. You know, he's seen his jersey sales. He's a third-team All-NBA guy. He's represented by LeBron's crew. He wants to start winning. He's a competitive guy by all accounts. So, like, just staying pat, doing the status quo, or taking a step back to kind of rewrite some of these past mistakes, that's really not an option, because if John leaves, the whole thing is over. Like, the whole thing. And that's just not a position that – anybody in the Wizards organization even wants to even imagine, think about. Yeah,
and one last thing, and we'll move on to Jody Meeks. Here's the other thing. The East is getting weaker by the second. We've already had Paul Millsap leave just now. Paul George is gone. Jimmy Butler. Those are the best player from three different teams. All were in the playoffs a year ago. None of those teams, there's a chance none of those teams are in the playoffs next year. I mean, we'll see what happens with them. So the East is getting weaker. Another good reason for the Wizards to stay, you know, with what they have, and make, you know, add some other pieces.
I would caution that, though, right? Because other than Atlanta, and what Atlanta was the fifth seed this year. So Atlanta was 5, Chicago was 8, Indiana was 7. Miami, by, you know, many different metrics and whatever you want to call it, they may have been the second best team in the East just from a momentum kind of production, second half production standpoint. They missed the playoffs, right? We all kind of expect Milwaukee to ascend. And then you got this team, you know, in Philadelphia where God only knows what they got, you know. And from a Wizards standpoint, they struggled against Miami and Philadelphia last season. So, yes, three of the East best players are leaving, but it's not out of the realm to say, okay, well, then three of these other teams who were kind of right there with them anyway, they're just going to take those spots. So, I don't know. I mean, the bottom of the East, you know, it's weird when I hear people say the East is getting weaker. It's just shifting.
I guess my point would be if you're sort of saying at the start of the season, how many teams have realistic contention to finish in the top four? You know, the amount of those teams is way smaller. If Jimmy Butler stays in Chicago, if Paul George stays in Indiana, I'm not saying those teams would have been top four, but who knows? Those guys are great. Miles Turner makes a leap. Jimmy, you know, the Bulls, Dwayne Wade stays healthy. You know, I'm just saying, like, all of a sudden, the amount of teams that you could potentially have to compete with just for the playoffs, but also for home court, has now dropped. And I'm with you. Miami should be a lot better, but all these teams are going backwards on some level. Injuries happen. But anyway, so yeah, fascinating. It'll be fascinating to see what happens here with the Wizards without Otto Porter. I can't comprehend that they're not going to match him. We'll see. Hey, everyone, just a quick word here from our sponsor, SeatGeek. You guys have heard me talk about this many times before that, you know, that even though buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, SeatGeek is here to make it a simpler deal for all involved. It's the smartest and easiest way to get tickets to live events, and with SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just 2 taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Now, I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. It recently was helping a friend for the U2 concert. I had already had my tickets, but they were looking to get something, and they went on the app, and from what I could tell, they used it to help navigate the tricky world of concert ticket buying. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Now, here's how you got to do this. All right, let's start with this. You got to download the SeatGeek app, okay? Go ahead, do that. When you do that, enter the promo code LONBA. That's Locked On, LONBA, National Basketball Association, LONBA. That's promo code LONBA for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Download the app and enter promo code LONBA today. All right, back to the podcast. Now, that said, if they do bring back Otto Porter, they still got to work on their bench one way or the other. They did that today. And before I get into that Jody Meeks thing, I want to play for you guys. On the podcast that we had the other day where I had a few different people share their take on what the Wizards would or wouldn't – what the Wizards should do or what they thought was the most interesting part of free agency, I sent a bunch of people an email saying, hey, here's what I'm looking to do. Here's, you know, how I think you can help. I think it'd be a lot of fun. And just in case you're not quite sure, here's an audio clip. And I had one of myself talking about this. And I had two parts. I talked about how I think they need to break up Martin Gortat, Jan Mahimi, which actually, on a side note, I kind of think is maybe less now. But, well, anyway, we'll get to that maybe some other day. But then I said at the end of it, and by the way, here's a free agent that I think that the Wizards should target. Let me play that for you right now.
And help fill out the rest of their roster. I think that that's one way the Wizards could upgrade the roster. Now, in terms of a potential free agent target, I'm looking at someone like Orlando's Jody Meeks. We're talking about a 40% three-point shooter over the last two seasons, but that's been in limited games because of consistent injuries. Meeks is the type of player the Wizards could use off the bench, especially if they lose Bojan Bogdanović in free agency. They also may be able to get him somewhat on the cheap. Perhaps Meeks views the opportunity to play with John Wall as a chance to rehabilitate his future value. I'm Ben Standing with the Locked On Wizards podcast, and that's my thoughts on the Wizards' upcoming offseason moves.
All right, there you have it, Armand. I am Nostra freaking Damus. I got.
Hey, don't hurt yourself. Pat yourself on the back, baby. Don't hurt yourself.
Hey, you know what? These things are like, it is so hard to ever get these things. I mean, I know like last year at CSN, like J. Michael and I, like we each, like we, because the Wizards only had, you know, six guys. So you know, nine spots right, to fill. I don't think I, other than like Satoransky coming over, I don't think I got any of them. I don't think anybody list was somebody that the Wizards ended up with. I had a lot of spots. So to get the first guy that I said they should get as the number one guy, I'm gonna take that.
Hey, if you don't celebrate your wins, no one else will. So I'm all for that.
All right. So that said, I mean, look, let's start with the positives of this. The reason why I thought it was an interesting move for both sides was that Jody Meeks is a guy he can shoot. He hit 40% from three over the last two seasons. He averaged 15 points a game with the Lakers, three plus years ago. So those are the positives. And the Wizards, obviously, whether they keep Bogdanović or not, probably less likely to keep him now. Otto Porter sort of aside. They needed somebody on the bench who could score and can shoot. Meeks can do that. And he's one of those guys who should benefit from playing with John Wall. And, you know, if he can stay healthy, then he'll be, you know, potentially be able to rehab his value. And they got him for virtually nothing. I mean, $7 million over 2 years, relatively speaking, for an NBA salary is a pretty good deal. From the positive standpoint of that, I guess I'll round it all out. The downside is he's been hurt the last couple of years. He's only played 39 games the last 2 years. He's had thumb surgery, foot surgery, and obviously that's a concern. The Wizards just went through this with Alan Anderson a couple years ago, where they signed a guy who's been productive, but they signed him on the cheap because he had been injured, and that was obviously an utter disaster. I think it's worth the risk, and if it hits between him and Frazier, that's a big upgrade in the backcourt. Not saying it's the best reserve backcourt of all time, but it's better than what they had, and it's at least puts them in sort of the average category, especially offensively. So I think it's a good risk-reward situation, but there is the risk with the injuries. What do you think about the Jody Meeks signing?
So this I've been waiting. I think this is the third time I've been on this show. You've been on my show once, so four different times we've had different podcast interactions. Back when we were working together, there were these fierce kind of verbal jousts. We haven't had it. I think it's going to come this time, right? On the positive, it's cheap. It's a cheap deal. I was surprised that it wasn't any type of team option for that second year because of the injuries. So, again, on the positive, looking bright, Jody Meeks can shoot. You know, he's not a just awful, you know, basketball player. He has a specific skill set, and it's a valuable skill set. And he's cheap. So that's me being positive. Now let me get comfortable, because now I'm about to run off the negative end. It's important to know I am not a Wizards hater. I like the Wizards. I enjoy the Wizards. I like going to Wizards games. I want the Wizards to succeed. So this is not me hating anything like that. If you are not familiar with the game of professional basketball, there are 82 games in a season. In the last 3 years, so that's what? 264, basic math, 264 games in the last 3 years. Jody Meeks has played in 99 of them. Like, so the idea, so when you break down basketball, right, in your fan, like, I'm all fans on some level. There's hope, and then there's expectation, reasonable expectation. I always go back to these blackjack, these card references and analogies. If you're playing blackjack and you get 17, you can hope that if you hit, you get a 4, right? But once you then start taking in all the data, especially if the dealer is throwing a 5, the odds are that you just stay, right? You can hope, we all can hope that Jody Meeks comes and he's healthy and he lights it up and the whole thing is beautiful. But the odds are, especially when you take in the fact that, again, 99 games played in the last 3 seasons, that this is not going to work. You know, at least work to the degree that you hope for. Again, the contract is cheap, so why would you give him 2 years? Similar, like Jason Smith. Jason Smith, you know, he rattled it out the sick last season. It wasn't as bad as it started off. But he has a player option for the 3rd year, right? I believe. Like, why would you get, like, what's the demand for Jody Meeks that you have to give him 2 years on the 3rd day of free agency? Then, and I was going back and forth on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, shameless plug here, Armon, ARMON underscore Lee.
Oh, I should have done that, so thank you for doing that.
No, it's all good. Going back and forth with fans, throughout, as long as it's like, there's no name calling, like, if it's friendly, I enjoy NBA talking banter. The Wizards were one of the best offensive teams in the league, like, clearly last season. I understand that, you know, their bench had shortcomings, but I think with the Frazier acquisition, their biggest thing they needed with the bench was someone who can run the offense when John sits down. But again, the offense was great. Remember, game 7 against the Celtics, they scored 105 points. They just gave up 115. I don't think that adding someone who is another positive to your offense, but is an awful defender, is going to, especially considering the injuries. I don't understand why you would do that. You know, the Wizards had specific needs this offseason, right? And if you swap out Bojan and Meeks, obviously they're, you know, Bojan is bigger, different positions, whatever, but wings. They do essentially the same thing. One guy, they both shoot well, and neither can defend. You can make the case that Jody is a worse defender somehow than Bojan. So, again, he's cheap, so that's a good thing. It's not going to hurt you in the long run. I just don't understand the logic of, like, hey, let's get Jody Meeks, you know what I mean, on the 3rd day of free agency, when you have all these other issues, specifically defense, that you need to address, I think, more so.
So, okay.
I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. This is we've had some, full-out brawls in the verbal, like, the couple of rounds yesterday in the Pacquiao Horn fight when they were like, both of them were like, had like blood like streaming down their faces.
Just throwing haymakers.
I mean, like their points. I mean, I never understood how anybody did not stop and tell us to shut the hell up, because the CSN bullpen, you had a seat like right on the aisle. And people would always come by and like talk to you, and you and I would in particular go at it. I know it was in a fun way, but like, it's like, oh my God, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So I don't think we're going to go that here, but only, well, I don't know why, but it's probably going to happen. But I'll just say this. First of all, the money is just not that relevant. I mean, look, if Jody Meeks never plays a game for the Wizards, it would be a bummer from a roster standpoint that, like, they potentially, you know, now have given up this roster spot where they could have done something else. But financially, I don't think that's really going to make a massive difference one way or another. I think that a guy, you're talking about a guy who, if he's healthy, gives you way more value than what they got him for. And you're right. I can't sit here and tell you, hey, he's going to be healthy this year when he hasn't been the last 3 years. But that's the risk on both ends. He's taking less money than what his legitimate talent is worth because he hasn't been able to show he's going to stay healthy. And they're taking a risk to take this guy that he's going to stay healthy because of what he can actually do. So I don't really have an issue with that. I mean, 2 years at that cost. I mean, Jason Smith, you're right. That 3rd year seems excessive, but they're also paying him a bunch more money. Same with Nicholson and same with Mahimi. That it's only day 2 or 3, whatever it is, day 2, really, right? It's only July 2nd, that they did it. I mean,
right.
I don't know what the market was for Jody Meeks, and I was able to confirm the Jody Meeks signing shortly after Shams Charania. I'm not sure if I'm just, I got to learn this guy's name right, because by the way, this guy, maybe Woj left his Rolodex behind.
Cause he's like, rolling.
Yeah, he's like,
he's
screw that. That guy's gone good now. Let me go nuts. But I get your point. The Wizards need defense. There's no argument about it. But I would argue. But part of my thing is Wall and Beal were asked to do so much last year on both ends of the court because they could, because the Wizards' offense was such a disaster when they left. That yes, I agree they need more defense, but I think their defense can get better if Wall and Beal are not asked to do as much. Now, if Meeks is on the court with Wall, instead of it being Brandon Jennings, a terrible combination, Jody Meeks can take a lot of pressure off that team if he can stay healthy again. It's an if. Teams are not, you can't lay off him. So you're going to have to guard him to deal with, and that's going to, you know, in theory, open up some more space, if not for Wall, then for other people. So I get you. But by the way, I had open here, Kevin Pelton, who I had on the show. I also talked to him about Jody Meeks. You can go back and find that podcast from last week, and he and I talked about it. He thought that was a reasonable call. Here's what he says on his I'm only going to read you a part of this. Here's what he says overall here. He talks about Meeks' stats, you know, and he, you know, talks about he's a career 37.6 three-point shooter who should benefit from John Wall's ability to set up corner threes when they play together. For a shoot, this is him saying this, for a shooting specialist, Meeks is a solid defender and an upgrade over Bojan Bogdanovic in that regard. Washington may view Meeks as a lower cost alternative to Bogdanovic, who is a restricted free agent. If healthy, I'd rather have Meeks. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you're wrong on your defender stance. I haven't studied Jody Meeks that much in that respect, so I take your point, and I don't think I'm sure Pelton's not saying he's making an all-defensive team. But the Wizards had – I mean, Jennings couldn't guard anybody. Trey Burke had to go – they had to send Trey Burke to Siberia because he couldn't guard anybody. So if Jody Meeks is just simply better than that, think about where this team was. They won 49 games. The bench that for most of the year was terrible. So that's why I think I can defend this trade. They're taking a risk with the injury, no doubt. But that's more for me a roster spot than it is like a financial issue.
So I guess my response to that would be, number one, again – The cost of Meeks isn't huge. So, you know, it's nothing to get extremely upset about because it's relatively cheap. However, you know, assuming that the Wizards do re-sign Otto and, you know, Max, whatever Max contract, right, they don't have a lot of money to play with. There's $3.5 million this upcoming season. It's cutting from – I think the, what, minimum level is, what, 5.8, something along those lines?
They use the biannual exception to get him.
Right. So, okay, so I'm not completely sure. So it's either they would have 5.4 with their mid-level or the 8.
I think it's million. 5. I've sort of been going back and forth with some different people. I think it's 5. I've gotten some different answers on this, but I think it's 5.
Right. But it's one of those two. Now, I was late on the email because I thought your idea on Friday about, you know, all the different free agent, you know, possibilities. I thought that's a great idea. My number one idea for the Wizards, and I don't know where he will fall, but his style of play typically isn't one that other teams value from a cost perspective. So maybe, you know, and I don't know what they have available to play with, and I don't know what he would demand, but Roberson, Andre Roberson would have been my number one free agent acquisition for the Wizards because he's an amazing defender. He's young. He does a lot of things well, and the Wizards need that type of amazing defense. So if that 3.5 cuts away from whatever Andre Roberson ends up getting, right, then I'm like, okay, well, then you brought in something to add to a strength when your weakness could have been possibly met by using that 3.5, although on a larger scale it's not a lot of money, in conjunction with whatever you had, it cuts away. And then number two, Kevin Pelton, respecting basketball mind, I'm not going to go back. You know what I mean? Like, he is going to be talking about. I do, though, however, question how you can take anything from a recent sample of Jordy Meeks defensively when, again, he's only played, you know, 99 – he's only played 33 games on average the last 3 years. So it's hard to kind of have a full understanding of what Jordy Meeks is or isn't, especially defensively when he's not playing.
Yeah, look, obviously he's been hurt. That's the biggest that's the biggest issue. You know, I mean, I guess I'll just sort of end it for me here on this. You're right. The Wizards don't have a lot of money to work with, but that's why they had to take a player to me like Jordy Meeks, who potentially will outkick the coverage of his contract. If they just took a guy whose value who really is a $2 million player, then that's really not going to move the needle. What they're hoping for is that Jordy Meeks does stay healthy and, in fact, plays like a player who, if he was healthy, would have gotten more money. I mean, you're right. I get it. That's a risk. But that's, unfortunately for the Wizards, the position that they were in. They needed to take a chance at a guy. That's why I have been pegging Jordy Meeks for the Wizards, because I was looking for guys who are better than what their perceived value is going to be in the moment and they could hope for. Again, Alan Anderson, I don't know if I would have said the exact same argument because he was older at that point and he never was like a great shooter and whatever. He was always, you know. But, you know, Jordy Meeks has shown he can play in this league. He's got to stay healthy. The Wizards have been bad luck with injuries since the beginning of time. But we'll see. And by the way, I will just say this. In terms of, like, the type of positions they could get. If they're going to keep Otto Porter, right, and they have Kelly Oubre backing him up at 100 as a first-round pick, that's your three spot. You're not giving minutes to anybody else at the three. So I get, like, your point about Roberson. I've had other people say they need, like, a defensive wing. But that guy needed to be more of a two-guard, if anything. And Roberson I view more of as, like, a three, maybe going up to a four a little bit. But, like, the minutes they're giving – like, they had minutes going into the offseason. Point guards, they needed minutes. Two guards, they needed minutes. And I think they needed another athletic big man behind Markieff Morris. They've got the point guard. They got the two-guard. If they take that mid-level exception left – And I'm not giving you a name here, people. I'm sorry, I don't have one off the top of my head. But if you want to say Patrick Patterson, since I guess Toronto is moving away from him, somebody like that, I guess on some level, to give you another option at the four if when Markieff gets in foul trouble or whatever, that is what I think they kind of need above all. I don't know. It's a total risk. And by the way, let me just say this one before we get to Armand's four things about free agency. Somebody pointed this out when I was gloating earlier about having called Jordy Meeks. They're like, all right, well, now it's on you. Hey, all I said was it made sense for both sides. I haven't seen his medical reports. I'm not calling him playing 80 games this year.
You just said he would be a good fit. You didn't say he was going to produce.
I'm not on the hook for what happens. Although, of course, if he kicks butt, I'm sure I'll be telling you all that.
Of course. As you should, because I know I would.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, guys. Ben here. Armand and I kept talking and talking, so I decided to break it up. This is already about 45 minutes or so here, so I decided to break it up into two segments. I'll put up that second segment for you guys on Monday. Hope you guys liked this one, story time with Ben, talking about the Otto Porter situation, and then indulging me with regard to the Jordy Meeks signing. You know, we'll see if it works out. That is the ultimate, you know, to be determined. Armand made a good point about, you know, the injuries, but I did think it made sense for both sides to get a deal done. Obviously they agreed as well. So looking forward to playing for you guys part two, more broad NBA topics, but they connect to the Wizards as well. And of course, if you want to make sure that you don't miss any of our podcasts, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or anywhere else to do your podcasting, and you will not miss anything else that comes down the pike. If the Wizards make another move, I'll put up on the third. I will put up another podcast going into the fourth, but otherwise I'll probably catch you guys back on after the fourth, beyond the part two coming up here with Armand. So you should be good to go for the next couple of days. Thanks, as always, for listening. And until next time, see you.